I spoke to, I asked the guy for advice. We was in one of these meetings. And I says, what do you do when you spend, and this is what a lot of business people do. What do you do when you spend a lot of time putting out fires? And do you know what he said to me? You got to let people fail.
Well, Thad's joining us from Dallas, Texas. He managed to check into his hotel room down there. He's actually at an agency training event for us to better our business. He's there. We're trying to sharpen the saw and get better at that, but still wanted to make sure that he was joining us for the show today. So thanks for taking the time, bud.
Thank you. You're very welcome. It was coming in hot and heavy on this one. Had lunch. Some nice Texas barbecue, actually, with our good old buddy Jonathan Bannister. So
busy day for you, but it's going to be a good show here today. We've got Anton Martin with us. He is with English Air Inc. down in Orlando, Florida. He's going to be bringing some heat and some knowledge today with his lovely Florida accent. And I'm really excited for it. He's got 26 years of experience. He was a pipe fitter back in London, England, and ended up getting into heating and air conditioning while he was over there. And then when he came over to America, started his company. He is with EJIA and has done a lot of teaching and training there. He was on a panel, and that's when I first bumped into him, is when we were at Epic about a month ago down in, where are we? Los Angeles. In Anaheim.
And I was going to say Orlando, but that's next year.
That's next year. But he's one of those people who's known as the expert of experts. When it comes to solving problems, he's the guy that other companies will call on to try and solve problems and get equipment repaired when nobody thought it could get fixed. And I'm really excited to dive into kind of the future of systems and what the changes are coming, how to stay ahead of technology and innovate and grow your company, innovating both with the new equipment, but also with people and in your recruiting and all of that as well. So I think it's going to be a great conversation today.
It all sounds good to me.
Perfect. Our show would not be possible without our sponsors. We've got Elite Call, Chirp, and On Purpose Media. So we'll get things started with Elite Call. Ever thought about outbounding your databases to fill your dispatch boards with lucrative service and sales appointments and boosting your memberships too? Enter Elite Call, a US-based call center that does just that. For over 20 years, their dedicated teams don't just make calls, they directly integrate appointments into your field management software, filling your dispatch boards. Don't let your competition get ahead. Let Elite Call connect with your customers first. Visit elitecall.net. today to book your demo. Boom. There we go.
Have you ever wanted to transform your home service business? You can with Chirp, the ultimate automation toolbox. You can capture more leads, connect instantly, and skyrocket your sales. Chirp integrates seamlessly with platforms like ServiceTitan, HouseCall Pro, offering automated text, emails, and even ringless voicemail. It'll boost your Google reviews and your customer loyalty with proven rehash programs. Schedule your demo today. Get an exclusive 25% off your first 3 months. Visit chirp.com/HSSR to start boosting your revenue today. And by the way, if you actually pair this with Elite Call, fuck.
And last but not least, enhance your online presence with On Purpose Media, your go-to home service marketing experts with everything from web design, SEO, and PPC. Stunning user-friendly websites, absolutely. Increase your visibility online with search engines. And make sure you've got targeted traffic with effective pay-per-click ads actually leading to book calls on your board. Let's turn your online presence into a lead-generating powerhouse. Visit onpurposemedia.ca to start your digital transformation and watch your home service company thrive in the digital world.
All right. Without further ado.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to HVAC Success Secrets Revealed, a show where we interview industry leaders and disruptors, revealing the success secrets to create and unleash the ultimate HVAC business. Now your hosts, Thaddeus and Evan.
Wow.
Anton, welcome.
I'm just blown away by this intro. I'm just like, wow. You guys are like professionals, man.
We've been around the block, time or two.
Yeah, it's been a couple of years, maybe 200 plus episodes.
200 plus? I didn't know I was in the presence of such talent. I thought you was just regular Joe.
We are just regular Joes. We just have a lot of fun while we do it. We may as well put on a show too.
Yeah, 100%. Exactly. That's exactly right.
Yeah. Awesome. Anton, why don't you share with everyone your journey into HVAC? Because I think it's unlike most people. who have joined the trades.
So listen, before we go into my journey, and I know this is all live, you're probably going to edit it, but I just got to ask you an uncomfortable question.
Giddy up.
Am I the first black man you've had on the show? Listen, I like straight out. I like straight out. I want to know if I'm your first, because
I like straight up myself, but I'm trying to think. I don't want to, at the risk of offending potentially another black guest that was on the show, I think you might be.
Yeah, I have no idea.
If I'm not your first, I want to be at least your most memorable.
Well, I think we're off to a good start there.
I only ask you that question for one reason, to make you just feel uncomfortable, because that's what I like doing.
Is it weird that I wasn't actually uncomfortable with that question?
Okay, then I'm going to have to go deeper until you say stop. But anyway...
Pineapple's his safe word. It's okay.
You said we could have fun. You didn't say how much fun.
I think we're off to the races on planning fun right here.
Absolutely.
So the question was, is how did I get into the HVAC industry? So this is a crazy true story. I was working as a pipe fitter in the House of Parliament. Now, the House of Parliament is the English equivalent of the White House. And we worked on steam pipes. I was a helper. And we had an AC guy come in. Now, we don't have much AC when I left. There wasn't much AC, just mostly in commercial buildings. And when this AC guy came in, all the women in the office were oohing and aahing because it was hot. And they'd been waiting all day. And this guy turns up and they're like, the AC man is here! Woohoo! And he hadn't even done anything yet. And he wasn't a regular AC guy. He was an AC guy who keeps his tools in a suitcase. And I was like, I want to be that guy. That's the guy I want to be. I want to be the guy that when he comes through the door, everyone is so happy to see him before he's even done anything at all.
There you go.
So
the superhero, right? The guy that everyone's looking forward to see.
Say again?
I was going to say, you wanted to be deliverance for females.
In a hot and cold type of way, yeah. Or should I say hot and cool? Sometimes we make them sweat. Sometimes we cool them off.
I haven't even had a drop of alcohol today, but I've been up since 2 a.m. So I'm almost the equivalent of being drunk in some of my mindset things. But
another reason why I left England is because of alcohol. I used to go out drinking. I only used to go out with one or two people who knew how to control me because I used to have dreadlocks. I was like the Black Fabio. And I used to go around London saying, I cannot believe it's not butter. And girls used to milk.
I do want to make a correction. That not the first black guest. We've had Lila Jones on, but you are definitely the first black male guest.
Oh, okay. All right, cool. So you've had some women, now it's time for a man.
Yeah.
Cool. So what's your next question?
So why do they call you the Mr. Fix-It?
Who told you that? Who told you that? Where did you get that from?
I did my research.
You did some research, huh? You did some research. So I did used to have the nickname the Experts X. And yeah, it is true. A lot of AC companies and manufacturers used to call us when everything had hit the fan, when people threatened lawsuits and we got in there. But I don't use that no more. And you know why? Because I'm trying to be humble in my old age. Not only that, all these other AC companies that we did work for and the manufacturers, a lot of times we come in incognito. Like they didn't know it was us. But you had to know, hey, we got this issue. They're threatening. You need to call English Air if you can find them. We were like the A-team. And we played the music before we come in. I was like Mr. T with the bald head.
Oh, no, that's not Mr. T. There's the watch on there. That's Flavor Flav.
Flavor Flav! Yeah, I love that guy. But yeah, so that was a nickname that was behind the scenes. But we don't like to brag about that because the reality of it is that we filled in a niche. The contractors just needed some help and they didn't want to get embarrassed. Oh yeah, we couldn't fix it and blah, blah, blah. Now, how did we get into that position? I'm a geek, man. I'm an AC geek. I eat and sleep AC. I just don't have the double rim glasses. You know what I'm saying? I love AC out the Yahoo. I do. I love AC so much. There's actually pictures of me in magazines hugging AC units. Ask me why I love them so much. Go ahead.
Why do you love them so much?
So there's two reasons. A, so when I was a pipe fitter, my old man says, come to America, man. I'll put you in school. You AC at the Cape. They will fire the electricians. They will fire the plumbers, but they'll never fire the AC guys. And I was like, why, Dad? He says, because AC guys can do plumbing and electrical. I was like, wow. Not only that, people don't want to be hot. I was like, wow. The other thing is I started studying AC. AC is like everything. It's like physics. It's geometry. It's math. It's all the sciences and everything combined. I feel, are you guys familiar with the Avatar?
Or the customer Avatar?
No, the Avatar, like the cartoon. There's airbenders.
I know the movie.
Yeah, the airbenders and stuff like that. Yeah, yeah.
The airbenders. Are you familiar with the airbenders?
Yeah.
Thaddeus, I'm seeing a blank on your face.
No, I've watched the Avatar movie. That was about it.
Okay, so Evan, I need you to educate Thaddeus after the movie about Avatar, The Last Airbender.
You got it.
So educate him and get him to watch the whole series, and then he can watch the movie, and then you can watch the Netflix remake. If you ever watch the Avatar, there's three types of benders. One is earth, the other is water, then there's fire, and then what's the last one? Earth, wind, fire, air. And I think as an AC guy, you do all four. I feel like we're the Avatars. I feel like the Avatar. That's what I feel like, being an AC guy. I light my torches and I feel like I'm a firebender. And then I've got a lace and pipe, I've got to dig a hole. So now I'm an earthbender. Do you know what I'm saying? So I just feel like to be an AC guy, you almost have to master all the elements.
What makes you holistic? It makes you holistic.
Holistic, yeah.
Yep, absolutely. Now, you've dove heavily into inverter systems and wanting to solve problems moving towards that direction. Why is it that you feel like inverter systems are the future when it comes to HVAC equipment?
I'm going to tell you a crazy story. This is true. This crazy story is true, though. When I used to have to travel a lot and I was on the road for a couple of hours, you're falling asleep. And I try to stay away from the caffeine because I'm super crazy hype as it is. I won't sleep for days. You give me half a cup of coffee. I had this friend. And I'm going to just name drop his name because I just love the man. His name is Neville Peters. Neville Peters is an Englishman amongst Englishmen, and he speaks exactly what it is. His name is Neville. Neville. Neville is a wonderful man. Now, Neville is an engineer. And he's an old school engineer, and he designed AC systems. He designed AC systems, mechanical. He could design a whole hospital on pen and paper. So when on a long journey, I would talk to him. Now, his claim to fame is he actually, you won't believe this, but you could, I don't know if you'll find it, but he actually designed the recording studio that the Beatles made their music in mechanically. And he broke records when he did it because the sound level was so quiet in there. He went on and he ended up doing them for the jazz musician. What's his name?
BB Miles.
No, he's passed now. He's a big guy.
BB King.
That's it. He did one for BB King. And he ended up traveling the world doing this. Anyway, when I'm on a long journey, I give him a call and we talk about AC and we geek out. And he starts telling me about VRV, variable refrigerant volume. And for those who are not in the in crowd, variable refrigerant flow. And it blew my mind what he was talking about. I went to a facility. Now, I hate to say it, but I'm a walk-in thermometer. And as I walk into a facility, I'm doing air tests, right? And I walked into this facility. It was about 75 degrees. It was about 65% humidity. The filters were probably not changed as often as they should be. A little damp in the air. And then as I walked through, I walked into a room that was 75 degrees at 50% humidity, and the air felt crisp and clean and cool. And he said, this is the VRV system. And I was like, wow. It was a church. And then they took us to a YMCA here in Florida. And I was blown away. Then I looked at this thing and I thought, wow, I saw a system that was a 10-ton system that could ramp down to about 15% capacity. That means I had a 10-ton unit pulling the energy of a 1-ton unit. It was like me walking into the science museum. I wanted to push buttons. I wanted to touch stuff. I wanted to pull out my gauges. You know how it goes. Us AC guys, we like to whip out our gauges every now and again. I wanted to whip out. I wanted to pull out my gauges. I wanted to slap on my amp probe. And I wanted to see what this baby was giving us. And I started researching this stuff. And it was mind-blowing. And then I found out that Daikin invented this stuff 25 years ago. And I said to myself, why are we not doing this in America? The other side of this, and this is where it was like a perfect storm. We hit 2008 bubble. When we hit the 2008 bubble, we had a lot of the new construction people coming into the replacement market. And they were killing the market because new construction, there's no margins, and they were beating up the margins because they had all these guys they're trying to fill hours for. And so I went back into commercial because I used to work for Train. I worked for Train for 5 years. I went back into commercial and I realized this VRV is the future of air conditioning. At this time, there were 3 training labs in the whole country. And I went flew out to California and I trained on this stuff and I fell in love with it. And it's mind blowing. I've got a video that I really don't share of a hospital that put on a 10-ton VRV, and the 10-ton VRV is pulling less energy than an exhaust fan that's pulling poop out of the bathroom. A 110-volt exhaust fan. Is that mind-blowing? Mind-blowing. So this VRV is a mind-blowing, but people are scared of them.
Mm-hmm. So why is that? Why is it that contractors are afraid? Why is it that they don't want to start implementing these systems? Why is it they're afraid to sell it? Why are technicians afraid to sell it?
First thing is that I hate to say it, but our industry is an old boys network. And this is the way I've done it for the last 35, 55 years. Beer can cold. There you go. You know what I'm saying? This is
beer can cold.
You feel you charge it till it's beer can cold. This is the mentality of, I would say, almost the majority of AC companies. And they're afraid of it. They're afraid of anything new. I even see it with the engineers when they're designing the systems that they do cut and paste. Listen, I was going to give this guy, and the energy efficiency standards haven't even caught up to the efficiency, and I'll explain that in a little bit. But I was going to give this guy one crazy hell of a deal because I knew that once he got this one system in his Metro PC store, then he'd put him in all of them. So then the engineer says, I heard VRV systems will not pull out the humidity. And I'm like, did you do a load calculation on this building? Yes, I did. Can I see it? Oh, I don't have it available right now. I don't have it available right now because you didn't. What you did is you put your thumb up. You said, hey, I've got X amount of square feet. It's a commercial property. I've been doing this for 20 years. Bam, stick a package unit on the roof. And I said to him, there wasn't even a package unit year before. Yes, there was. I said, did you go to the facility? No, I didn't. He says, I went to the facility and I saw it was a split system. It was a 10, 15 ton split system. And the air handler was downstairs. Did you see that? No. Did you know there was no penetration? No. But guess what? People will listen to the engineer quicker than they listen to the contractor because he's the engineer. It's like people will listen to the doctor quicker than they'll listen to the nurse. But the nurse has got more time for you. Now, I'm not saying now, don't get me wrong now. I'm not saying everyone go and listen to the nurse and ignore the doctor. You listen to both and you look at the facts. So that's the first thing. The second thing is the end user. So let me see if I can explain this in simple language. And I can get waffling about this stuff. So you can shut me up anytime because you get me talking about AC, I'm rolling here. So variable refrigerant, what happens is this. I can give you a VRV system and it's rated at 17 SEER, right? I can give you a two-speed system and it's rated at 17 SEER. Then I can give you a single-speed system and it's rated at 17 SEER. I guarantee you the two-speed system will save you way more energy than the single-speed system. And I can guarantee you the VRV system will save you way more energy than the two-speed system. But they all have the same SEER rating. Why is that?
Thad, you got a guess?
I do not.
Because they rate them at peak load.
Correct.
And whereas with a regular system, you might have a 50% runtime. And with a two-speed system, you'll probably still get a 50% runtime. With a VRV system, you're probably going to get an 80% runtime. So guess what? Before peak has hit, it has removed most of the load already. Because guess where all the load is? All the load is in the moisture that's in the air. All the load is latent. I say it's similar to a car. Back in the day, I bought my wife a Tahoe. And I'm waffling here, and I'm going to get to this so you guys can get some words in edgeways. Well, I bought my wife a Tahoe, and she's, man, this thing drinks gas. I says, listen, you can pull off from the light and pull 4,000 revs, and you will suck all the gas out of the tank. But you can also do 70 miles an hour at 2,000 revs. So just pull off slow. And that's exactly what an inverter does. It starts up slow, which is where most of the energy is used on startup, and it ramps up according to the load. I never see a VRV running at full load, and that's where they rate it.
And it's about, in terms of how do we communicate this to a customer, it's all about comfort, right? Do you, when using the car example, when I was a comfort advisor, I would always use that as my example. Do you want the car ride where you're just flooring it and then it's nothing? Do you want it where you can go halfway or floor it or nothing? Or do you want that smooth transition, that smooth comfort all the way from 0 to 60?
Because because here's the thing. If I'm running at a lower rate, say if I've got a 3-ton system and it's only running at 1 ton, and it's running longer. Guess what it's doing all the time is running? It's pulling moisture out of the air. And comfort is not temperature. Comfort is humidity.
Correct. We've got a client that's down in Louisiana. So in the summertime, often they're dealing with 100% humidity. You guys in Florida, same thing. Big humidity issues in the home. A lot of mold that develops when you oversize or undersize equipment because it's not pulling that humidity out of the air.
And with the VRV systems, you can slightly undersize them because they will overperform. I had a commercial facility that had 16 tons of AC. One compressor had died. So we had it, we isolated and was running it on one because there's two condensers tied together. We ran it on 8 tons of VRV system for a year and nobody noticed a difference until it got to the cool season that we could take the whole system down. People don't know how good the VRV stuff is.
So how do you get the message out further then? Because if you're talking how good it is, how efficient it is, you think about electrification and even what's happening in some of the grid loads that are on there right now, like shit here in Alberta, up in Canada, we had a minus 35 Celsius, which was equal to minus 35 Fahrenheit at that point. And they actually had an emergency alert to say, turn off lights, save power. Our grid is at max. I'm sure that we see that in California, they're starting to see some of that too, right, with electrification. So how does this message get out further? How does this message get out louder? How do more people understand the benefits of putting it into their house?
I think, first of all, we need to do more podcasts. We need to talk about it more. The other side of this is that somehow we've just got to educate, because I know 96% of my residential sales are inverters, because what I've done is I've said to my customer, where can I give you the best bang for your buck? If I look at my efficiency ratings, I have from 14 up to 20 SEER. And I says, the best bang for your buck is this 17 SEER system. And not only will it save you money now, funny situation. I was in a meeting where I'm at places where people's like, what you doing here? And I was like, yeah, I got an invite. That's why. I've got a big mouth. So people bring me along. I'm great for entertainment. But no, so I'm at this meeting and they say, Anton, do you use that $1,600 federal rebate? And I laughed. And they're like, why are you laughing? And I'm like, do you really want to know? They're like, yeah, tell us. I was like, I never use it. And they're like, why? I said, because I tell my customers, would you like a $1,600 rebate now? Or would you like to save $1,200 on your utility bill every year for the next 12 years?
Layer up.
What do you want? Because if you want to see...
I'll take the rebate. No, I'm kidding.
Take the rebate and put it on black, right?
I want my money now. So mathematically, anyone with any sense realizes that, but you've got to have the conversations. But I think too, you've got to get the fear out of it from the contractors. Because if the doctor says, I want you to take this medicine, and he gives that medicine to the nurse to give to you, the nurse likes, I wouldn't take that medicine. The last guy who took that medicine, it was terrible. I wouldn't do it. Then you're going to be thinking twice. So the contractors have really got to look at themselves. But we're going into a market now, especially with the electrification, where everyone's more now green conscious. And energy conscious, because energy conscious is smart building. So contractors need to educate themselves and they need to educate their guys. A VRV system is not a crash, bam, thank you, ma'am system. And if that's what you want to do, that's fine. That's fine. But that's not what a VRV is, because one of the manufacturers, their compressor, they make their own compressor and it will go from 52 hertz up to 230 hertz. So this thing can be squealing and running some high pressure, and so those lines have got to be clean, those joints have got to be tight. So this is something that contractors have to differentiate themselves and just do a good quality job. And their customers will love it. And they'll tell their friends and they'll tell their neighbors. The next thing they'll be doing podcasts, just like me.
No, I wrote down it's a belief in sales. And you used a health example, and I think that's brilliant, because if you've got a health issue and you go to a surgeon, he's going to want to cut you open. If you go to a pharmacist, they're going to want to prescribe something. If you go to a naturopath, they're going to do Reiki on you and poke you with needles and do all kinds of weird shit and voodoo stuff, right? But that belief is what's necessary, right? And when you look at someone like a Brent Buckley, why is it that he can sell a $50,000 job, a $100,000 job? Like it's nothing. Why? Because he believes in it. He's got that faith that what it is that he's offering to a customer is in their best interest. Why is it that 96% of your sales are inverters? Because you have that belief that what you are doing is what is best for the customer.
And that's our goal. Our goal is to deliver five-star customer service and to give the customer what's best for them. And I think every contractor wants to give the customer what's best. And we have to go there and we have to realize that we are the experts and they're relying on us. So it's important that we do our homework. To me, the VRV is like the cell phone, the smartphone. When it first came out, people said, no, I just need my phone to make calls. And I was like, do you know you could use it as a compass? No, I just make phone calls. Well, do you know there's a GPS on it? No, I just make phone calls. I was like, do you know what you could do with that smartphone? You're buying all these other stuff. And it's right there with the VRV. And it's a case of you're going to end up having to, you got a smartphone, you need a smart AC system.
I agree. Get up to date with technology.
There you go.
Yeah, I know that you're coming up, your phone's ringing a couple times and you're right on time on where you said your guys were going to start to blow you up a little bit with nearing the end of the day. I do want to get into one topic that you said that you wanted to chat about, and that was the EGIA Foundation. And looking at the Electrical and Gas Industries Association, I was wondering what EGI stood for until I read the notes today. I just know that they had their event Epic down in Los Angeles. I'm being a little facetious on that one. But now as a board of directors on there and working in through that, what are some of the things that you're, I guess, when you move into a board of directors for something that is so large of an organization and that quite a bit of learning comes involved in that, quite a bit of experiences come involved in that, quite a bit of, I don't want to say the word power, but knowledge and experiences. I'm trying to think of the other word for
Influence.
There we go. That's the right word that I'm looking for. Influence comes within that. And so walk us through the journey of what it's like getting into there and how the EGIA has helped you with where you're at in your business.
I considered it a great honor to be asked to be a member of EGIA. And if anyone's not a member of EGIA, I suggest every contractor become a member of EGIA. Not only do they have great events every year, but their training portal is second to none. Take a picture of EGIA, look them up, look at the stuff they have. It's helped me. I wouldn't be in business today if it wasn't for EGIA. The truth of the matter is, the reality of it is, and here's my confession, I'm a great AC guy, and I'm working on being a great businessman. And EGIA has helped me do that. Way back when, I nearly had an accountant put me out of business when it was just me and another guy. And she's like, you owe the IRS $13,000. And I was like, what? Are you crazy? I think we're lucky if we just broke even this year. Like, what is going on? And I said, run the numbers again. No, you owe them $13,000. And I went on to EGIA and I went through the stuff and I educated myself about the cash accounting and the accrual accounting. And I went back to her and I said, listen, you need to change your accounting practice to accrual instead of the cash. That's going to cost you a fortune. I was like, I need you to do it. So she went and did it. It actually didn't take me hardly anything. There's no extra charge. I just had to move some stuff around. And now you only owe $3,000.
You don't know what you don't know. Wow.
That paid for my membership, like for a few years. You know what I'm saying? Just being able to educate myself on the business stuff. I didn't go to school for business. I didn't go to school for accounting. I'm an AC guy. And EGIA has taught me all those other things that I didn't know. And I've spent a lot of time in there learning that stuff, going to the classes, learning from other contractors, the stuff that I didn't go to school for. So when I got asked to be put on the board, it's my way of giving back. Like EGIA has been so good to me, so good to my business, so good to my employees, my family, my kids, school, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I could go on and on, this industry. So EGIA was just a way of me giving back. And not only that, they're a great bunch of guys, too. They're great people, great organization. I can't say enough about EGIA.
And what I love about that story is the fact that you're like, hang on, pump the brakes a little bit. Something doesn't seem right. And I think a lot of individuals that have went into running their own business just didn't have the business experience to go in. And that's okay, by the way. That's okay if you don't have the experience. But at least it's 100% normal and shit. I have a business degree. And when we started our marketing company, On Purpose Media, guess what? I had a little bit of business experience, but fuck, the shit that I learned while actually running a business is phenomenal. They can't teach that in school. I mean, there's some principles that you can get on, but personalities and managing humans, you can't really learn that from an HR textbook from a professor who's likely never managed people. But the thing is that you said, and I won't get down my rabbit hole on that one. But the thing that you said is you went and sought the information, or you went and sought how to understand this. You went and figured it out. Now, are you an accountant? No. Are you an expert? No. Do you know how to read your books? Yes. That's the big thing.
That's the big thing. And then you learn this stuff. And you don't even learn it from that professor who's in class, who has never done it. What you're doing is you're actually learning it from people who have been in the industry for years and years. I've done this not once, not twice, not in one business, but in 10 businesses. I've not done it in one state. I've done it in 10 states. And you've got people all over the country who have put their input in there and some of the best trainers. And it's all on demand. Do you know what I'm saying? I come home at the end of the day, and so it's funny because people don't realize how much stuff is on there. Like, I had a situation where I was hiring bad. I wasn't hiring the right people, and I didn't know why. And I went in there, and I asked some people, and they said, I don't know why it just went dark on me here. I went in there, and they said, first of all, you need to get your vision statement. I was like, what? I says, I'm hiring bad. Get your vision statement. Get your core values. I said, I'm hiring bad. Obviously, you didn't answer the question. And then I realized what they were saying is that, first of all, you've got to define on paper who you are. And then you find someone to fit. And I could have never learned that any other way except for going in there, being in the class, asking the question face to face, like, how do I get better at this? And then he says, go to EGA, search this, vision, core values, mission, put those into place. Once you figure out who you are, then you'll figure out the people who fit into your team. And the light bulbs went off and they came back on again.
We got some symbolism going on. No, but it's, are you treating the symptom or are you treating the cause?
Yes.
And that's what having access to mentors, to leaders, people who have done it before you, who have gone down that path, who have already suffered through the pain and the struggles and all of that, the failures. What did they do to overcome that? Let's compress decades into days and move forward.
And Weldon Long was an inspiration. When I first heard the Weldon Long story, I was inspired. The first Epic I went to, I heard Weldon Long give his story. I bought his book. It was up in Destin, Florida. And I drove back and listened to the audio book on the way home. And I said to myself, wow, it was the power of consistency. And now every employee in my organization gets that audio book when they start. The power of consistency. And it basically says, listen, you can do this. And they all know that I'm going to push them. And I says, if you want to grow, this is the company to be at. If you don't want to grow, don't join us because we're growing. And I'm going to push you to grow. I'm going to make you work on stuff you've never worked on before. I'm going to have you solving problems you didn't think that could be solved. I'm going to send you to job sites that engineers have walked away from because that's what we do.
I love it. Raise your standards.
Are we having fun yet, guys? We having fun.
I'm looking at the time and how they got to go. I'm like, man,
go ahead. Listen, keep me longer. I know you want me. I know you want me.
One thing, people, that I don't think, obviously the benefits of joining EGIA or look any other best practice group for that matter, it doesn't necessarily have to be EGIA. Find one that you identify with that works for you and you get the information to be able to help you and your business get there because success leaves clues. And just following people that have done it, right? Might as well ride on the shoulders of people that have already been there and done that because the experiences you're going to get are great. One of the things that I don't think often gets talked about is the idea of giving back and the idea of being on a board of directors for something like an EGIA. What's that experience like while doing that, while also running a business at the same time?
What you learn from, so the mistake I made, when I started this business, I didn't plan to build this great, massive business and make, it was just the next step for me. And then what happens, you do work, you just grow. I built the business around myself, which I shouldn't have done. And going away and being involved in these things makes you have to go away and be involved in these things, which makes the business have to run itself. Now, between you and me and the four walls and the 15 trillion listeners to this, the best way to earn a living is not having to be there and still make the money. Does that make sense?
Makes sense. Just harder to do than it is to explain.
All we got to do is we can make an AI of you, do some videos, let him figure it all out. He could probably answer all the questions just like you did, have all your mannerisms. And then you could actually probably send it out to search for some people to interview as well.
We're working on creating it. It's going to take some time, but it's so in development.
The hardest thing in business is learning to let go. And I asked the guy for advice. We was in one of these meetings. And I says, what do you do when you spend... And this is what a lot of business people do. What you do when you spend a lot of time putting out fires? And do you know what he said to me? You got to let people fail. And I don't like letting people fail. I don't like failure. I don't like it. But I realize, and if you have kids, there's a time you got to let go of their hands. There's a time you're not going to be there. And a lot of times they fall down once, but guess what? They get back up and they learn to walk. And soon they're running. But if you don't let go of their hands, then you're not making independent, good employees. What you're making is you're making dependence on you. Being involved in this thing helped me to disconnect and let go. And it also helps me to give back. And it also helps me to see other ends of the industry. And it's setting me up for my second life. I want to grow up and be one of you guys one day and not have to go out there and sweat. I go out there occasionally. I've been given so much, I can't contain it. I've got to share it with the planet.
Love that.
Now, can we talk a little bit before we go? Can I mention one other thing?
Sure.
My podcast on ACH News.
Sure.
Minority recruitment. So we realize that in our industry, there's a massive workforce shortage.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all talking about women in HVAC, but we never talk about minorities. I want to encourage everybody to try to get involved in one of these community trade schools for kids who grew up not very privileged, not knowing what they wanted to do, and try to figure out a path in life. Because this industry is so good, and there is such a workforce out there. Weldon Long was one of those guys, you know what I'm saying? And he found the HVAC industry. There's so many people out there in the minorities, and a minority could be anyone from a woman to a Ukrainian, to a German, to a black guy, to a Spanish guy, to whoever, to a Chinese guy. But we tend, and this is an American mentality, and I really encourage people to listen to the podcast about minority recruitment. We tend to just flock to people who are like ourselves. I want to hang around with people who wear their hat backwards because I wear my hat backwards.
I normally don't wear my hat backwards for full disclosure.
It's human nature. It's a nature. You almost have to be, proactive in mingling with people who are not like you, who don't think the way you do. There's a guy who was at Epic called Duncan. I think his name was Wobble. Wardle. He made this phenomenal message. He made a statement that is etched in my mind forever. The statement was, diversity creates innovation. Old people mingle with young people. White, black, Chinese. You get a different angle of life when you start to learn how these people think. Does that make sense? And it will help your business. And if we've got to reflect the communities we're serving. You know what I'm saying? Let me give you one last example and I'll let you close up. I was at an event, 1,900 people there. The stats I've read is that there's probably about 14% black folk in America. There were 6 black folk in that room, 1,900 people, and they're all HVAC leaders. There were 6 minorities in that room. There's an issue, but we can fix it. And the way we fix it is by talking to people like me. Hire a black man today. It's funny. A guy says to me, Anton, why are you doing all this? What do you want to get out of it? The reason why I'm doing all this is just to say thank you for everyone who gave me a job. You know what I'm saying? Who gave me a chance. Because as I said, I came here with dreadlocks. I was a street kid. And this industry has done the world for me. I've been married 25 years, got a wonderful wife, wonderful business. I can't believe I'm living the life I'm living. But thank the American dream and guys like you.
So was it part of the humility as to why you got rid of the dreadlocks then?
No, it was just a phase of life. I was a boy who liked to play a little bit. Fabio. And also, I couldn't believe it wasn't butter.
So HR News Podcast, I believe was where you said that was. We'll find the link. We'll put it in our show notes. So when everybody's listening to this on Team Replay, you just got to go to the show notes. You find it, you click on it, and you can listen to the podcast, Minority Recruitment and How to Be Able to Get Better and Adding More Diversity into the Workplace. Because really, that is a testament to it. And I remember a previous business that I worked at, their motto was, we don't care where you're from or who you are or what color your skin is. Are you the best at what you do? You're hired. But, right? And when you don't care about that, now you can create a diverse workforce because you're hiring the best. And there's a lot of great people that are out there that are in the minority.
Yeah. And sometimes it's just learning to communicate with these guys because they think different. Just the generations think different. We all know. We all think different and we have different buzzwords. We have different thoughts and et cetera. So you've got to learn how to communicate with people. My workforce here is diverse. I've got a Jewish guy. I've got a Palestinian guy. I've got a half Scottish, half Korean girl. I've got a Spanish guy. I've got a Cuban guy. I've got a country boy. I got them all. And they all get along. We all get along great together. And we're all on the same team. We're all trying to do the same thing. Feed our families and take care of our customers. Yeah, great stuff. Good stuff. Listen, it's been a joy and a pleasure being with you. And I hope that wasn't just for me.
No, it was definitely a joy and a pleasure. But before you go, we do have one last question here for you, Anton.
Yeah, go ahead.
What is one question that you wish people would ask you more, but don't? And it can't be anything that we've talked about on the show, because I'm sure that you probably, I already thought where I think you were going to go, but just, I'm going to put that caveat in there. Most times I don't caveat it.
Can I put a VRV in my house? Oh, we talked about that already. Does that not qualify?
No, that can qualify. That can qualify. So that's for a residential customer coming to you. What about another business owner? What about another person working in the trades?
Oh, another business owner.
Yeah, or a technician or somebody else working inside the trades.
What is the most important characteristic of a successful business leader?
Okay. What is the most important characteristic of a successful business leader?
In my personal opinion, vulnerability. You know why? Because we have to be teachers. And if we sit up here and I act like I'm perfect and I've never made a mistake, then I put myself on a pedestal. And then when they make mistakes, they don't know how to deal with them. Does that make sense? If I'm not willing to be vulnerable, because I tell my people, listen, I don't care if you make a mistake. What I care is that you're honest, that you come to me and then I can help you. Here are some mistakes I made, and this is how I got through them. But I also learned that with my kids. I joke, hey, my kids found out that I wasn't perfect when they're about 3 years old. I was like, no one gave me an instruction how to raise a kid that's related to you. You know what I'm saying?
No return policies.
No return policy. I've never done this. It's different when you babysit someone else's kids. But now they're your own and they're with you 24/7. And So you make mistakes. And I sat there and I realized I've got to let my kids know the truth of who I am. I'm trying to be a good dad. And yeah, I screwed up. I was too hard on you in relation to this. It's funny because my sister comes around the house and she says to me, Anton, I notice you're different with your daughter than you are with your son. And I was like, what do you mean? She says, you're so hard on your son and you're so easy on your daughter. And I was like, you think so? And I looked at him and I was like, yeah, you're right. And I had to apologize to him. But I said to him, listen, it's a tough world. And I wanted him to be able to face, I've been put down a lot in my life, but it just fuels me to get stronger. Matter of fact, I love it when people put me down. You know what I'm saying? Because it just lights stuff up in me. I turn into a beast, an animal. I turn into an animal. I'm a soccer guy. So I wanted to try and instill that same mentality into him. And we'll be playing sports. And I'll be like, you ain't never getting around me. You ain't never going to win. You ain't never. And I want him to have that fire and that tenacity that I have.
Can I ask you something on that?
Yeah.
Why don't you want her to have that?
The reality of it is that, and this is a very broad stereotype, we as men in the world tend to see the world as going at it. Women tend to see the world as coming to them most of the time. Most of the time. That's a really broad stereotype. So women are like flowers and men are like trees. That's an old stereotype. It's an old stereotype. And it's not. So I was very, it's funny because back in the day, I got spanked. My son got spanked. But my daughter really didn't get spanked. But the reason why she didn't get spanked is because she didn't want to get spanked. She saw him get spanked. She said, I want to get spanked for nothing. So she fell off her bike one time. She don't want to ride the bike ever again. She was very delicate. She was like a vase and he was like a tree trunk. And I was a little bit too hard on him. Now, don't get me wrong. She's a tough cookie. And there's a lot of women who are tough cookies. And I think it's very important for people just to be themselves. I was told, oh, you'll never be a technician. Oh, you'll never do this. Oh, you'll never do that. But I think it's very important for people to be themselves. So.
No, I agree. I was just curious on why was it apologizing to him on being harder on him and not apologizing to her for not being harder on her? And is she delicate because you weren't?
Here's the thing. Imagine this, right? My son is a stocky little dude, right? And I'm a pretty big dude. I'm not that big. I'm like 5'10", barely 200 pounds, but I'm pretty athletic. And we used to play soccer in our front room with my daughter, who was just a rake. So she goes in hard. She going hard. She had to fight with me and him all day long, playing soccer in my front room before mum finds out. And we're pushing each other where, and I'm telling them to be careful, but she's a tough cookie. She's tough. Because she grew up with a big brother. She is tough. She still plays soccer. But here's the other side of it. She's more like me than my son is. My son is a lot more like my mum, my wife. He's more like my wife. And it's not that he's soft. He ain't soft in any formal way. He doesn't have that. Let's just go for it. He's one of these cats. If he makes a mistake, he gets so down on himself. He beats himself up so much that it throws him off his game. So I want him to be able to roll from the hits of life. And that's what I was trying to teach him. And she's getting it too. And I'm still learning. My son is 23. My daughter's 21. And they both work in the business. And I'm still learning how to be a good parent. But I love my kids. They're great kids. They're great kids, man.
It's funny. Just as you figure out them at one juncture, they change. I got a one-year-old and a three-year-old, so I'm in the thick of the shit right now with them. It's but it's, and Evan has three that are older than that. I think I know their ages, but I'm not going to say it for fear of getting them wrong. But as soon as you figure them out, then they go ahead and they change. Right now, you've got to learn and adapt with them while they're going through their change too, so you can still show up as a good parent.
The interesting thing is, internally, they don't change. Internally, they don't change. Like, where their core is, their DNA is the same. What I found as the biggest key for me in the parenting thing, especially as your kids grow up, is watch them and find out what they like. Because once they hit the hormonal age, they forget everything.
Thank you, boys. My dad saying was young, dumb, and full of cum.
Yeah, they forget everything. And I'd be like, I had to say to my son, remember, you like planes and you like flying. That's what you like. And I said to my daughter, remember, you like soccer. I don't know what I like. That's what you like. You've liked that your whole life. You still like it. Get out and play. I don't know if I want to do it. Just do it. So I think with the kids, and I do that with employees too, I figure out what they like, and we work on a goal plan for them. I say, hey, this one guy, man, you love commercial sales. I see you do a couple of them. We need to train you up to do that. Right now, you're a service tech and you're starting to get into the light commercial. We'll get you into more and we'll get into commercial sales. And another guy, man, you like residential installs. It's just what he likes. So we're going to funnel you into that and make you the best residential install and then a residential install trainer and whatever. So you study these guys and see what they like and you just encourage them to go along that path which is made for them. Because you see them, there's certain things you do with your kids, you see them light up, right? You see them light up. You got to remember those moments because they're going to forget them. You got to remember them. Evan, how old are your kids? This is a test question.
13, 10, and 8.
Oh, wow. You a good daddy. You a good daddy. So my funny joke is I've been married 25 years, and I think there's only really, to be a good husband, good dad, all that, there's only a couple of things you need to know. You need to know the kids' birthdays. You need to know what day the garbage has to go out on. And you need to watch one girly flick a month, at least one girly flick a month.
See, my town has an app on the phone, so it pops up a notification to remind us that the garbage has to go out for the pickup the next day. Well, my three-year-old asks every morning, garbage truck's coming today. I'm like, no, buddy, it's Thursday. It's only Friday.
So you're training it well.
Yeah.
It's funny. You know what? Chris Rock says, listen, if you're a good husband and a good dad, there's really only one reward. And it was, what's that? That's the big piece of chicken. That's what your reward is. And he says, one time I ate the big piece of chicken and my mom went mad. She says, now I'm gonna have to sew a wing and a leg together to get me out that.
From the, what was that, Bigger and Blacker and Uncut, right?
Oh, something like that. Chris Rock is hilarious. I love that guy. Oh, listen, this got brought up and I don't know why I bring this up at all and I need to go, but I'm having so much fun with you guys. My name is Anton. That movie, you've seen that movie back in the day, Undercover Brother? You've never seen the movie Undercover Brother with Eddie Griffin?
I've definitely heard of it. I probably watched it one time.
Oh, you've got to watch the movie. Undercover Brother with Eddie Griffin. When he goes undercover, he's got to learn how to eat mayonnaise and he changes his name to Anton.
So he's got a big, he has a big afro in it, doesn't he?
He does.
Yeah, no, I 2002 is when it came out. I know that I've watched it, but I'm not generally the best at remembering movies or movie quotes. But I know that I remember seeing it, and I'm sure that I've watched it.
All right, guys, can I go?
Yes,
you can go. We appreciate you. Thank you so much, Anton. Really quick, if people do want to get in touch with you, best place to do that, just reach out, office@englishairinc.com. And of course, check out his website, englishairinc.com. to learn more about their business. And if you want to learn more about the VRV systems from him, make sure you go check out egia.org as well, where I know they're putting out constant content around all of that and a plethora of resources available.
You say that word plethora again.
Plethora.
Sounds like a song. Plethora, fora, whatever will be.
Perfect way to end a show. Thank you. Thank you for singing. Thank you, Anton, for taking the time of your day going longer than we originally anticipated and planned for. So thank you so much for that as well. The information and the knowledge that you shared today was paramount. And there was a lot of great tangents I had a lot of information to unpack. So thank you for dropping all those knowledge bombs.
Hey, my pleasure. Thank you guys for having me. Anytime you want me again, I'm right here for you.
And it, and until next time.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Well, that's a wrap on another episode of HVAC Success Secrets Revealed. Before you go, two quick things. First off, join our Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/HVAC Revealed. The other thing, if you took one tiny bit of information out of this show, no matter how big, no matter how small, all we ask is for you to introduce this to one person in your contacts list. That's it. That's all. One person. So they too can unleash the ultimate HVAC business. Until next time, cheers.